Welcome back to Book It, a book podcast, a podcast about books where we read them and we don't necessarily get free personal pan pizzas for that yet. We're still waiting to talk to you, Pizza Hut. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And I'm Chrissy Wilson.
Welcome back, everyone. If this is your first week with us, welcome. If this is not your first week, welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back to the hellscape that is fucking Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I cannot believe that we put ourselves through this. When we last convened, we read R.L. Stine's The Curse of the Mummy Tomb.
I have to say, Sarah, that every time, like, I feel like Goosebumps at this point is just a palate cleanser for...
It's really good.
Just to, like, scrub my brain with 1990s just stuff that I know is going
Goodness.
Is going to be okay. I'll be able to make it through. I'll be able to make it through the 2 hours of Goosebumps to scrub my brain from the shit that I will encounter.
And here's the deal. We thought this was going to be fun because...
because we got really in, really, really in to the Willy Wonka experience in Glasgow.
Okay. Did we learn our lesson? Absolutely not. Will we do this to ourselves again? Yeah.
Yeah, we
absolutely.
Will. You know what I learned, Sarah, is that that 18-page piece of shit script that AI
is probably better than
is
this.
Absolutely 100% better than this book. I would have preferred at any point in this book, at any point in the little 2 hours and, you know, whatever, 3 hours of this book, that the unknown popped out and just ate me. That's what I would have preferred.
But like in real life.
Yeah.
Like it's like Samara.
Yeah, Samara from the ring. Ring. Just climbed out of my phone, climbed out of the audiobook.
Taps me on the shoulder and she's like, come on, let's go. You're like, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. Just like
beat the shit out of me. Instead. Yeah, that's why all of us continue on the time-honored American tradition of going through a fast food drive-thru and then eating it in your parking lot and trying not to make eye contact with the person in the car next to you, doing the exact same fucking thing every single time. Every time.
Yes.
I go to there's a specific Portillo's that I go to, and every time I go, I get an extra French fries for all the seagulls and the pigeons in the parking lot because.
Of course.
Pigeons have been wronged by humans, okay? So I pull into the parking lot, and then you have to, like, find a spot where you're not directly next to everyone, because everyone is going through the drive-thru to eat the food in their car.
Yes, and then sit there and just stare.
You just stare into space, question your life's choices, you know, maybe go through some regrets, and eat your beef sandwich. Okay?
Yeah.
And then,
so the book that...
And then when you start getting really upset, you throw the fries out the window... And you watch all the pigeons and the seagulls go for them and, you know.
Get their grub on. And then you feel a little better. Okay, so the book that we read this week was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory by Roald Dahl. It was narrated by Douglas Hodge. The audiobook length, because, of course, again, we did not read this book. We listened to it. 3 hours and 18 minutes long. He has a bunch of other books, Roald Dahl, Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator, the BFG, James and the Giant Peach, and Matilda. There's like 800 other books, but Matilda. We love Matilda.
We love the Matilda film. I don't know that we've...
Correct.
I don't know that I've read the book recently enough to know that I would enjoy it.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about it.
Based on my experience with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I don't want to say that. I will say that I love Danny DeVito, and I love Rhea Perlman.
And
Mara Wilson. I also love Mara Wilson. So I loved the Matilda movie. The Matilda book, you know, jury's still out, Roald. I don't know what you put in there, okay? I don't trust you. I have trust issues with Roald Dahl at this point.
Yes, now I definitely do. Okay, so our bestsellers ranking list, this book is number 1,551 in Audible books and originals. It is number one in humorous fiction for children. We're going to put a pin in that. Mm. It is number three in fiction classics for children. I accept that. Because it's a classic. It is, you know, it's, everybody knows about that whole thing. And it is number 15 in Growing Up and Facts of Life for Children. No. I take umbrage with a lot of those. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Mm, no.
No. Mm, not into it.
No.
Except for 1,551. Okay. So there are 19,037 reviews. It's an average of 4.7 out of 5. I take umbrage. 84% of those are 5-star, 11% are 4, 3% are 3-star, 1% is 2, and 1% is 1, which I don't understand, but okay. The Amazon description: Willy Wonka's famous chocolate factory is opening at last, but only 5 lucky children will be allowed inside. And the winners are Augustus Gloop, an enormously fat boy whose hobby is eating, Veruca Salt, a spoiled rotten brat whose parents are wrapped around her little finger, Violet Beauregard, a dim-witted gum chewer with the fastest jaws around, Mike TV, a toy pistol-toting gangster in training who is obsessed with television, and Charlie Bucket, our hero, a boy who is honest and kind, brave and true, and good and ready for the wildest time of his life.
Fuck all of that. Okay.
You don't like that?
No. There's falsehoods and all that. One, justice for Augustus Gloop, okay? I don't want to hear
yes.
any Augustus Gloop slander of him or his parents.
No.
And I'm sorry. When Ooh. Was Charlie Bucket brave and kind?
Chrissy?
We had issues.
Would you say that we are gloopies?
We are gloopies. We You know who's not getting a fart curse this week? It's the Gloops, okay? No one in the
Yeah, the Gloops are, God love you, Gloops. But anyway, yes, we are gloopies for life. And then our next book that we're going to read are RuPaul's newest memoirs. So I'm very excited to read that. But let's get into the reviews, Chrissy, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. I would love
okay,
to hear that.
Okay, so I found a couple of them. Number one, 3 stars, meh. My son liked it, but it was a little boring and not a fun adventure.
I read this shitty book to my kid. He liked it. I thought it was trash. 3 stars.
And then my other one that I got is an Audible review. That one's just like a straight Amazon one. This is Audible. The sound mixer needs to be fired out of a cannon. The sound mixing on this is terrible. The narrator is good, but it gets so quiet you have to turn it up if you're listening on a speaker. Then, after you turn it up, you have to turn it down because it blasts your eardrums as soon as the action picks up.
You know what? I support the complaint, despite the fact that it is likely a personal problem.
Yes.
In your audio settings.
User error.
That is a user error, but you know, I support the complaints. I really do.
I love it. And this is a new one, too. She reviewed this on March 8th. So, I mean, she was just in there. I did have one review that I really liked. It was from GrayBear47, 3 stars, nice product. Used by my grandkids. I have no clue as to what it does or how it works, but they seem to have fun using it. So that seems to be what counts. I was like, sir, this is the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory section. Like, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, no clue as to what it does. It's a book and how to use it. You read it, Grandpa. So anyway, I don't know what the hell is going on with him. Chrissy, please tell me your reviews.
I have 2 reviews. One, they're both from Amazon, but I've selected, as I usually do, a 1-star and a 5-star review. And my 1-star review is from June 24th, 2020, so it's almost 4 years old, from Kristen M., who said, there were literally bugs in the book. They made holes in the paper. 1 star.
Kristen?
They did you a favor, okay, babe? They did you a huge favor.
You at least got the holes in the book. We did not get any holes. Well, no, we did get some holes. Okay, what was your other review?
And then I have a 5-star review from August 12th, 2023, so relatively fresh, from Soybean, who said,
oh boy,
I liked the part where Mr. Wonka crashed into the Bucket's house with the elevator and almost killed them all. And honestly, Soybean, I wish they would have. Like, I mean, it would have really been more exciting. Would have really wrapped the whole thing up for me.
Yeah, they definitely did. They took a lot of creative liberties on this.
Well, I think the worst part for me is that the version that is in Audible, that we read, is a newer edited version. So they took this book through the wash.
Yes.
Of a present day lens and still came out with what we just read that I have some issues with. So.
It was a white load mm-hmm. on the wash.
Yeah.
It's, awful.
Yeah, sure is.
Well, so like whenever they edited it out.
Yeah.
That is not a glitch or anything like that. Every time I say edited, I must say edited because it's such a, like, it just feels like it keeps going. Edited.
It's just edited. A lot of editing to do.
Yeah. So they did, they edited it out. But the cut, I've always thought that the Oompa Loompas, I was like, they are being held captive, like, against their will. This is a slavery.
It is a slavery
situation. And I was like, this is terrible.
I didn't know what was going on. Now, mind you, I found the original. I've only seen the original Wonka film. Okay, I've only seen Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Willy Wonka. I think it's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory
with Gene Wilder.
With Gene Wilder. I love
yes,
Gene
it's
Wilder.
The best one.
I find yeah. Gene Wilder to be incredibly charming and amazing in all aspects of life, with the exception of Willy Wonka, because this movie scared the shit out of me as a child, and I have not watched the most recent two. I didn't.
No.
You couldn't pay me to watch the Johnny Depp version.
No.
And
no.
I mean, absolutely fucking not on the newest one.
No. Gene, except for maybe because Hugh Grant is the Oompa Loompa.
I do love Hugh Grant.
Yeah. Okay. So Gene Wilder, that version of the movie, he really captured, like, I am delighted to see these children meet an
fail.
Untimely tragedy. Yeah, he loved it. And I was like, yes, because that is Willy Wonka. Like, Willy Wonka is not, like, some, like, cool, like, chocolate guy. He is a fucking freak.
Yeah, he is a fucking lunatic. Except the delivery, when we were reading it, I'm, like, listening to parallels between the audible narrator versus moments in the book where I remember how they relate to the movie. And there's
yeah.
the... Like, I don't remember what part it is, but there's a part, I think it's when she's eating the whole meal gum.
Yeah.
When he's like, oh no, please stop. Don't do that. Like, just ready
yeah.
for her to go to her demise. And that in the book, I think the actual Wonka character was genuinely trying to get these people to stop doing this shit. In the film, Gene Wilder was like, please don't do that. You will die. Uh-oh. Okay,
yeah.
Goodbye.
I feel like the narrator wasn't understanding that part of it because he was reading it, and I will say that I took immense umbrage. I thought that Hugh Grant should have narrated this book.
I think Hugh Grant should narrate every book.
Yeah. So he should have narrated this book. This guy, toward the end of the book, like when you actually meet Wonka, I was like, as I'm listening to it and I'm you know, cleaning out my garden and stuff like that, I was like, I am so happy that I walked out of that Johnny Depp movie all those years ago. I was like, this guy clearly got his inspiration from Johnny Depp. And he was like, I'm going to do my best Johnny Depp as Willy Wonka ever. And he did. And I was like, as I'm listening to it, I'm like, oh, I just can picture Johnny Depp doing it. Like, I was so glad that I walked out of that movie.
I know the visual of the Johnny Depp Willy Wonka movie. I just have not seen it.
Yeah, I don't think we're missing anything. Okay, so I can tell that this is a picture book because we are introduced to each character where they're like, this is Mr. Bucket's, you know, these are the grandparents. These four very old people are the grandparents. I'm like, hey, Roald.
Yeah.
Very old.
And the numbers don't add up for me in terms of, like, the,
oh, yeah.
the age of these grandparents. Because, like, Uncle Joe is 96 and Charlie's, like, 12. I'm like, how old were you?
Yeah. When Grandpa Joseph was 96 and a half.
How old's the dad? How old's Mr. Bucket?
Yeah.
Like 40?
And,
like, I mean, I don't understand the timeline of shit in this family.
Yeah. If you're going to introduce us, like, at least tell us who these people are. How old are they? You know, what's the backstory here? I just need to know it. So we're introduced to them and we get Joseph and Josephine Bucket. Then we get Grandpa George and Grandma Georgina, no last name,
yeah,
because fuck them.
Roald Dahl really, you know, went to extreme lengths to name his characters.
Yeah. And then Mr. and Mrs. Bucket, no first names because fuck those guys. Yeah. And then Charlie. And then this is Charlie. They all live in a small two-bedroom house together.
So, Shaq, I think it's a one-bedroom house. It's a two-room house.
Oh, two-room. Yeah, yes,
so
yes, yes.
So the bedroom is for the fucking octogenarian orgy happening in one bed where they're all just sharing a bed. And then the rest of them all sleep in on like...
I thought that the older people all lived in like the living room area.
I think the book said that they all got the bed. And then... And then Charlie, Mr. and Mrs. Bucket all slept on the floor in some other room.
They sleep in the... And like they have mattresses on the floor in another room.
Okay.
But I mean, at least they have a mattress. Okay, so we are to understand that all four old people sleep in the same bed and they share the same bed. And then they're all very tired and very old.
Yeah.
And Charlie and Mr. and Mrs. Bucket all sleep on mattresses in the floor in the other room. And only Mr. Bucket has a job.
Yeah, so there's six adults in this house and one child. And there's only one man employed. And then the whole book is like, they're poor. Well, no shit. You've got this one guy trying to feed a whole house full of people.
And they're like, so Mr. Bucket works at the toothpaste factory and he twists on the caps to the toothpaste tubes. Yeah. Good on him. All work demands dignity. You should, get your twist on.
Mr. Bucket, most respectable out of this entire household.
Yeah. Yeah. But in the movie, Charlie has a job and he's got a paper route, which is kind of cool if you're a little kid. Because that's especially like around then, like to be a newsie, I think would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Where you like throw your newspaper at people and like you can be like, hey, how's it go? Because you're a little kid, so you don't care. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody now. If you give me a paper route now, no thank you. But if I'm Charlie and I'm like 12, I'm like, hey, how's it going? What's for lunch, ladies? Like, you know, I'd be absolutely... being a menace to society while supplying the news.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't support child labor, so I'm fine with him not working. That's totally fine. You don't need to.
Oh, yeah. I'm also fine with him not working. But in the movie, he's got a paper route and he likes it. But he gets money and he like gives his mom grocery money. And he's like, here, Grandpa Joe, I'm going to start paying for your tobacco. Like, no. Let him like. And then he's like, oh, I'm going to quit in the movie. And I'm like, if you're 96 and a half, keep smoking. Who cares?
Yeah,
like, you've made it.
You're at the finish line, man.
You're on house money.
You should start doing wild shit at this point.
Yeah. You should be jumping out of this two-story house. Like, I was like, you can do whatever you want. And you're just like, nah, I'll stay here.
Yeah, no. 96, I'm setting fire to everything I walk by.
And
I am exclusively traveling, like, by motorcycle with no helmet or by jumping out of airplanes.
I'll have like a pet duck that I carry around. No reason. I'm just going to do weird shit. If I have to live that long, I'm going to terrorize people. So Mr. Bucket has the job and they would all the highlight of the grandparents' day is to see Charlie.
Yes, they are very excited to see this child because they won't get out of fucking bed. But they're like, they're all super old and they are weak. Well, it's probably because your muscles have all atrophied from not getting out of bed.
Yes.
You weirdos, like, get up,
bums.
Take
what are you, 96 and a half?
Take a stroll around the two-room house you got going on here.
Yeah, let's do a lap,
whatever.
But
that they're these people, okay, you only really get dialogue from Grandpa Joe and then Grandma Georgina, and Grandma Georgina sucks. That is,
she's a bitch.
She is one judgy ass bitch. Okay, so I don't care about these people.
No. Grandma Georgina, all she says is that kid is ghastly. And like,
yeah, she's basically like everyone. She hates everyone else. Like that. She talks shit about Augustus Gloop. She's just.
Yeah.
She's not great.
No. As soon as she talks shit about Augustus Gloop, I was like, oh, Georgina.
I was like, Georgina, you are not great, Georgina. She, and she's the one at the end that is like, doesn't want to leave the shack.
Yeah, we have a chocolate factory now, bitch.
Yeah.
Like,
come on, man.
We're going to be okay. Yeah. Charlie's like, hey, I fucking provided for us. And Grandma Georgina's like, nah. Anyway, so they ate bread and margarine a lot, but they also said that on Sunday dinners were better and they all looked forward to it.
Yeah.
And all Charlie dreams about and thinks about is chocolate. Sad.
They all save up their money every year for his birthday to get him one chocolate bar.
And he makes that shit last for a month because he's a sweet boy. I would wolf that thing. I would just be like,
Yeah.
That's my chocolate bar.
That'd be it.
I'm not going to savor this.
I wouldn't share shit. Yeah. That's what they're like. At one point, he's like offering to share. I wouldn't share anything. They're like, no.
Especially since it was, like, I'd be like, yeah. Fuck you.
Sorry,
guys.
You old people. Why don't you get out of that bed and come over here and get it if you want it, Grandpa? Like, I get the fuck out of here. You want this?
Oh, hey,
walk
Georgina.
Over to it.
Yeah. Come on, do it. I want you
do
to.
Do it. I dare you. I dare you, Grandma Georgina. Do it. You know who gave me this? Augustus Gloop. He walked to me to give it to me. You can't walk over to me.
Yeah, and his dad told me that he loved me. I'm not going to come back here anymore. I'm going to move to Germany because he loves chocolate. So he should go to Germany. German chocolate's delish.
Yeah. So is Belgian chocolate.
Oh, so good. Okay. So they would all pool money for a chocolate bar, you know, whatever. And then the shitty thing about these people, the buckets, the family bucket, is they live by the Wonka chocolate factory. That is a problem.
It is a problem. Charlie said he was walking to school every day and just like smelling the chocolate, just like get a whiff. He'd walk slower.
That would be tough. And then, that would be tough.
And then did it say in the book, or am I imagining this, that on days where he was like starving, he would conserve energy by leaving early so he could walk slower?
Yes. This kid is a weird kid.
That's a sad little backstory.
No. It's not his fault. He's like 9 or 10. Like, it's not his fault at all. Or no, he's like 12.
Also, what did you say about this? About this being basically like theater porn for rich people who are imagining how the poor live?
Yeah, it really felt, this whole book, it just felt like, it was like somebody wrote it and they're like, I'm going to write about these poor people. And then we're all like, we can read this to our children and be like, people used to have it really hard. And it's like, not you, though.
All four of these moldy old people shared one bed together.
That is so sad. It just felt like a really voyeuristic thing into like, this is what it's like to be poor. Yeah. It's like, no, it's not. But
you
like,
wait all year for one chocolate bar.
And he draws it out for a month, this sweet boy. Like, it's something that you like read to your kids and you're like, okay, and Santa's watching you.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, well, like, what rubric is Santa grading me on? Because I feel like I've got a curve.
Yeah, I feel like this is what, when their internal monologue is like, listen up, you ungrateful little fuck. This is what they read to them instead. Like, I can't say that to my kid. So I'm going to read them Charlie and the Chocolate Factory to show them how it could be.
And then he's going to be so, like, when I tell Frankie, like, whenever the Sarah McLachlan commercial comes on, I'm like, Frankie, look, next time that you're crying and acting like life's so terrible, look at how these dogs have to live over there on your orthopedic dog bed.
How would you like to live outside, Frankie?
Yeah, you have to sleep out. Your orthopedic dog bed is occupied right now by another dog. God. She's like, I guess I'll sleep on the floor. You're like, okay, Miss Ma'am, you need to calm down. But anyway, so it felt really weird and like you're teaching somebody a lesson. You're like, if you're just humble and polite and modest and honest and, you know, blah, 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 then you'll get a chocolate factory. But it is not the attitude that we should have.
You're totally right, though, where it's written by somebody that's wealthy. That's like, this is how the poor can access the wealth, is by being polite and kind and be, you know, adhering to all of the rules and just working as hard as we do. Like, that's what it, yeah, no.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Big time fart curse.
Fart curse.
But anyway, that felt really weird to me. And then also, it was, like, what's wrong with Augustus Gloop? His mom says, oh, my boy just likes to eat. And if he didn't like to eat, he wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah,
so she's like, my man's is cool. Yeah.
Said,
it's like, why isn't that cool? Why isn't that a good thing?
Augustus Gloop's mom, who was, I mean, what a fucking queen, was based. People
she
are like,
queen.
This kid's favorite hobby is to eat. And I was like, and what's the problem with that? And she's, she's like, you know, she said, if he didn't need the food, he wouldn't be hungry. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you drop this crown, ma'am? I will.
Yeah,
hand it
I was
back
gonna say.
To you.
Did Did the newscaster not hand the crown back to her? Was he like, I'm sorry, I had to cut this interview short.
These people are the ones that deserve the chocolate factory.
She didn't say he is eating so much and we have to work four jobs between the two of us. And I also have to, like, you know, nanny on my off time in order to do this. It sounds like they can afford it. Kid likes to eat. Their parents like that he likes to eat. Shut the fuck up.
She's not.
Don't fucking worry about it.
And you know what? I feel like his mom, if she was working four jobs and turning tricks on the corner just to, like, buy him candy, he's like, she's fine with it. She's like,
yeah,
the kid's hungry. I mean,
yeah,
he needs it. I brought him into this world. I'm going to let him, you know, get his needs fulfilled as a parent.
If I can supply him with chocolate, I will. She's happy. But she's like, I don't see the harm in that. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. So that's the other thing is, like, if he was so, because I was starting to think, like, maybe all the different kids are like the different seven deadly sins, like envy, pride, gluttonous, you know what I mean? Like all that stuff. Like, I thought maybe it's that. And then I'm like, no, because it's not, because Augustus Gloop is not gluttonous. He is. Sorry, I guess we should say this. The grandparents keep telling Charlie about Wonka lore, like that he's a recluse,
it's just
weirdo.
Joe.
Yeah, it's just Joe, and he's talking about how brilliant Wonka is, whatever. And he's like, he's this recluse weirdo who keeps slaves in a factory, and they're not allowed to leave because the other workers were sharing the recipes,
yeah,
and he's
and
a paranoid
freak
now.
He got all paranoid. Willy Wonka sounds like somebody that started QAnon, okay? Like, he literally is like a, everyone's listening to what I'm doing, everyone's watching me, so I'm locking my doors, and no one's coming in, and no one can go out. He's a fucking lunatic.
Each chocolate bar is a Q drop. Because then Mr. Bucket comes home and he's like, hey, guess what? There's been a Q drop. Wonka is opening the chocolate factory and five children can go and they're just going to win candy
there's
for life.
Golden tickets hid all throughout the land.
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, but Charlie can't get one. Fuck you.
Yeah, but it magically becomes like Charlie's birthday. Right?
Like next week. Yeah.
So it's magically Charlie's birthday, and
do you think that Roald Dahl was like, Charlie only gets chocolate for his birthday, and then, ooh, he needs to get a chocolate bar. Good thing it's his birthday next week.
Fuck! Charlie, happy birthday.
Like, imagine if Charlie's birthday was 11 months from now. He's like, fuck!
Blew it!
Yeah. Fuck. Okay. So five children can go. So the first one to win is Augustus Gloop. He's a gluttonous child angel who deserved the chocolate factory in the end. I stand by that. You cannot knock me down off of this peg. What are you going to do about it? Augustus Gloop should have been inherited the chocolate factory.
Yeah, and here's knock number one on Grandma Georgina. When they read the article or saw it on TV, whatever it was.
It was an article.
Of Augustus winning. She called him disgusting. And you know what? Fuck you, lady. I think you're disgusting. Get out of that bed.
He's a beautiful, beautiful boy. Okay. And then the second one to win is Veruca Salt. She's a spoiled brat. Her dad runs the peanut factory, and he bought her like half a million or billion bars.
Half a million. Her dad is as big of a piece of shit as Willy Wonka. Fuck Mr. Salt.
Yeah.
I don't remember his first name.
Yeah.
I don't remember if they gave him a first name.
It's Mr.
This guy sucks, okay?
I hate him.
They reference that he has his 100 women workers opening half a million chocolate bars to find this little ungrateful snatch.
Well, they sit there and they shell peanuts
all day.
And he said, now your job is to shell chocolate.
These are exploited people that he's probably underpaying because it's all women workers. So they're probably being paid a quarter of what the male workers and whatever other factories this guy had was being paid.
Yeah.
And now they're opening all these chocolate bars for his little shitty kid so she can get a
And then they're
ticket.
Supposed to be excited so that this kid can get a fucking, well, you know what, though? Because that kid did get it. I think she got it, maybe the worst.
Yeah, and then
of all of them,
Grandma Georgina said she's worse than the fat boy, which...
Which agreed.
She is. And... Don't be degrading to the Gloop boy, okay? Georgina?
Oh, you mean Augustus Gloop? You mean perfect boy, Augustus Gloop? Gloopy.
Yeah, he's an icon. We're not...
Yeah.
This should have been called the Gloop Factory, okay?
No, I don't like that at all, but I also do love it. I think he should have inherited the thing.
That's how this should have ended. It should have ended with it being the Gloop Factory, and that's it. And people are like, what the fuck is happening there, Gloop?
Yeah. Okay, because who among us, Okay, and be honest with yourself. I'd fucking jump in that chocolate pond too. I would be sucked up in the chocolate tube. I would be doing, I love this. This is so cool.
The whole thing's edible. You wouldn't reach your hand in and grab a little sip?
Yeah, of course you would. And that's why I thought that this was a weird religious thing, because I'm like, oh, like, is like the chocolate factory like the Garden of Eden for the children?
Oh.
And then if they eat the apple, and Charlie is the only one who didn't do it, but if they all eat the apple, then they all meet their little tribe. Anyway, and then their third one to win is Violet Beauregard, which I wrote Veronica for no reason, because I've definitely seen this movie, and I just wrote Veronica, so I might call her Veronica sometimes. She is like a gum chewer person. She wants to break a world record in gum chewing. I don't know. But like the guy's impression of her was absolutely horrible, and I wanted to find him and call him.
There are a few things like kind of related to the book, but not really. There are a few things in society that are weird, kind of like unusual issues that I have that I find to be utterly disgusting and repulsive and I can't be around. One is adult men wearing flip-flops. I want to be nowhere fucking near you. I think it's the most disgusting thing in the entire world. I had a work event yesterday, and there was a grown man, it's March in Chicago, that came in wearing flip-flops, and I was like, oh, no. I want you to be, you, this is banned. Immediately fucking banned, okay? So that's thing one. And two is gum chewing. Like me.
There's a dress code for your feet.
It's dress code for your feet. I don't need to see your fucking toes, okay? Put them away. Put a sock on that. I don't wear socks and sandals. I don't care. I don't need to see that ever. You freaks. And we're like, have you ever met a man wearing flip-flops and been like, I can take you seriously? No. No, you fucking can't. I hate them.
No, because okay. Whatever. But I was just going to tell you, I got this Clada toe ring today. I ordered one and I got a Clada toe ring, and on the box it said, have a toe-rific day. This is hilarious, because I was like, that is disgusting. I cannot believe that you said have a toe-rific day to me.
Filth.
I almost returned it and was like, the product arrived in perfect condition, and then just I circled in red the thing that I don't like.
It's disgusting.
I will need my money back.
Whatever. So, you know, unpopular opinion, flip-flops should not be made in men's styles, ever. They shouldn't be allowed the option. No. Two is gum chewing. So me listening to this, them even talking about her chewing gum, and she's like, I put it behind my ear. I'm like, you're fucking disgusting.
That's
repulsive.
Disgusting.
Ugh, I hate it. I think it's the grossest thing in the entire world. Like, you are chewing food. Like, if it was anything else, like if someone was just chewing like a mouthful of Doritos and then just spit it out and put it on their plate and picked it up and ate it when they were finished, it's fucking gross. It's disgusting.
Disgusting.
It makes me it makes my stomach churn to think about gum. People are like, do you want a piece of gum? And I always have to like politely be like, no, thank you. When you fucking disgusting hag. Like,
That girl's jaws are going to be crazy.
Also, I felt like it was a sexual innuendo that he was like in there. And he's like, my mother said it's not ladylike to see a girl's jaws going up and down. I'm sorry. We don't need this line in this book. These are children.
No.
Rawled. These are like 12-year-olds. Okay.
But also there are some moms that say that. They're fucking weird.
Yeah. God.
And maybe Rold's mom said that to him. She was like, it's not very ladylike. And he's like, Mom, I'm a boy. I told you.
So anyway, I don't like gum, and the whole entire Bucket family of the grandparents gives me men wearing flip flop vibes. So I can't. I just can't with these people.
Oh yeah, they're not wearing a shoe. Okay, the fourth to win is Mike TV, and he is like, I think he's supposed to be Sloth. He's basically an iPad baby. Like, he just sits there and watches TV. Nobody can bother him. They, you know, the mom and dad are like, please, don't you want to do this? He's like, no, I just want to watch TV. Like, but he like mumbles too. So he's just like this like lazy person, because he doesn't want to do anything. He only wants to watch TV. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, have you watched TV? It's awesome.
They're like, they're interviewing him, and he's like, get out of the, you're blocking the TV. Move two feet to the left and then say whatever.
I'm not interested.
I may answer. Leave me alone.
He's a vibe. Not interested. Just want to watch TV. Don't care. Just want to go and see the chocolate factory.
I don't give a shit about you guys.
I feel like Mike would probably have canceled last minute unless his parents were like, you got interviewed for that thing. He's like, fine. Like, he's just, he doesn't want to go do that either.
I didn't want it.
Yeah. And then the fifth one is Charlie. He finally wins one. So he got the birthday chocolate, and then his grandpa saved a sixpence and gave it to him.
Neither of those were winners.
To buy another chocolate. Those were not winners. And then Charlie found money on the street, and he went to the shop, and he bought chocolate, and then he got a golden ticket.
I also think that that shop owner is the next to Mrs. Gloop.
Fucking freak.
He was kind of redeeming. Like,
the
shop owner was kind of protective of Charlie.
Yeah, at first he's like, oh my God, you found that in my store? It's like, yeah, it's not about you. You don't get to go to the, just because you bought something wholesale, like, doesn't mean.
Yeah, also, we talked about this. Okay, he found the coin he found in the road was a 50 pence, okay? So he buys one chocolate bar, it's five pence. And at this point, the toothpaste factory had closed down, and Mr. Bucket is just outside in the freezing cold, shoveling snow to try and make ends meet while the four adults have their, you know, their old people orgy in the one bed, and Mrs. Bucket does nothing, and then Charlie's just wasting away. So he buys the two
chocolate bars. Yeah,
they're
all so thin.
They're all, yeah, skeletons just walking around in their fucking flip-flops. And he's got... So he spends 10 pence. He's got 40 pence left. There's never any mention of him going home and giving his mom the rest of that money. Or his dad, you know, with his frostbitten hands.
In the movie, hey, Dad, let me get you some gloves. In the movie, he's got, like, a paper route. He makes money, and he brings home a bread loaf. And she's like, oh, this is a feast. And he's like, hey, Grandpa, your tobacco is on me. Like, don't worry about it. I know a guy. Like, I'm going to be buying it for the rest of your life. I was like, is this the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life, Charlie saying this? Because he's basically like, for the rest of your life, what's that, like, four more years? Like, I don't care. Maybe it's like 4 months if I keep buying you tobacco. I don't know how long you're going to live, but it's not going to be that long.
What do you got, 2 weeks left? Like, you got the shelf of a banana at this point. Like, we're fine. Let's go. Let's run through this.
You're on house money, buddy. Okay, all the wins that are, they're all featured in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. All the children, and when they finally like meet up to go on their little tour, all the kids are like nasty to Charlie for being poor. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, congrats.
Let me go get Grandma Georgina really quick. Grandma,
tell these kids they suck.
Yeah, Grandma, get over here. Look at this, the fat one. He said that I was poor. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell him he's disgusting, Georgina.
When she gets out of bed, yeah, you're
I'm rolling her in here, and she's going to roll you, bitch. Like, we're going to end you. God, Georgina is wild. She is an angry woman.
She said that you're disgusting. You think I'm poor? Grandma!
My grandma said your mom's a whore.
Yeah. So... And then he just goes, Gloop, there it is. No, don't ever encourage me about that again. Okay, so Wonka comes out, and Charlie takes his grandfather. Everybody else has got their parents there.
Yeah, that was...
And Charlie takes his grandpa, Joe.
In the movie, you were only allowed, like, I think one parent. Everyone had one parent with them. The invitation was for the kid and two adults. So it didn't even say, like... Well, in this version, it didn't say, like, your mom and dad. It was whoever. You could bring up to two adults. And Charlie won the ticket on January 31st, and the little factory tour was on February 1st at 10 a.m. So he won it the day before.
Yeah, and, yeah, that's super luck. But also, you guys have to know that Charlie is poor because he can't even invite two adults to a thing. He's like, oh, only my oldest grandpa could come.
Yeah.
And maybe he brought Grandpa Joe because he's like, I gotta get this guy to kick the bucket soon.
Grandpa Joe was like a fucking fangirl for Willy Wonka.
Oh, he was disgusting
who
about
couldn't
Willy.
Get out of bed, couldn't be bothered to get out of bed for anything. But the second he's like, hey, I have a ticket to Wonka, he's like, fuck that. I can walk there. I can walk the whole thing. I'm gonna swim the chocolate channel. We got this. Let's do it. I'll carry you on my back. Let's go.
Yeah, he's like, I'll get up early and I'll start going.
Yeah.
Like, super soon. Grandpa Joe goes with him. And I was laughing because, again, I remembered randomly that he's 96 and a half. And I was like, Grandpa Joe is witnessing the craziest things. Augustus Gloop gets sucked up in the chocolate tube, and he gets sent to who the fuck knows where he gets sent to.
I don't know, the boiler and, or something.
Yeah. And then...
the fudge room. Then the fudge room.
And then Veruca Salt got down this chute because the squirrels that were magically trained to shell walnuts, and they are supposed to know exactly which one is full and empty, and so they discard the bad one, the bad nuts. So they discard her, the bad nut, over to, because she wants a squirrel. And she gets, you know, she's a bad nut, so she gets chucked out and is the furnace. And he's like, oh, Wonka's like, it's okay. I think that they turn the furnace on like every other day.
It's fine.
Yeah. And that's why I thought that this guy did a poor job, because he did not understand that Wonka did not give a fuck about these kids. Because he was like, they're like, what's going to happen to her? And he goes, oh, she's going to go to the where the all the bad nuts go. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then they're like, but yeah, but where's that? And he's like, oh, it's this like giant furnace.
They're like,
it's the incinerator. It's going to be
fine. Burn her alive.
And then they're like, oh my God, that's going to be terrible. And he goes, I think they only do it like every other day. So
that's
like,
fine.
it's probably not even their day today. But he always, like, every time that the kids get sucked out and everybody is, you know, asking enough questions, he'll like snap, snap, snap and get the Oompa Loompas to come out. Right. And they always have the meanest, like, you thought that the songs in the show were, in the movie were pretty good, but these songs are the meanest songs.
Oh, they're fucking
ever.
Hilarious.
And Wonka's like, oh, they're not talking about you. That's just like a song
yeah,
that they
I,
sing.
I wrote down I wrote down a couple of lines from their little songs. They sang. The one was Augustus Gloop, the great big greedy nincompoop was one
yeah,
of the
that's
lines.
Pretty good.
And then on Violet, they called her a repulsive little bum who's always chewing gum. And they fucking hated these kids. And honestly,
that was my favorite part.
Rightfully so, because I feel like it's time to get into the Oompa Loompas.
Yeah, because the Oompa Loompas, okay, the Oompa Loompas work there. They're trapped there. They are never allowed to leave. And we don't know if they like it there. We don't know if they're happy or anything like that. So I can only imagine that not allowed to leave would not make anybody happy. But who knows? Maybe an Oompa Loompa leaving would be no good.
No.
Maybe that's not good. Yeah.
This is straight up, Willy Wonka is a fucking 1964 billionaire piece of shit who went to Loompa Land, which is, you know, in the jungle, to steal these little men out of trees. So these are basically like they're described in the book as like the fucking Keebler elves, okay? So they're like knee-high.
Yes.
They live in tree houses and get eaten by monsters and are surviving on green caterpillars. So Willy Wonka marches his little white billionaire self into the jungle and is like, oh, are you guys surviving on caterpillars that only taste good when you find one cacao bean a year? I will bring you to my factory and pay you in cacao beans. And then he fucking shut the gates and locked it. And now, so all these little men are enslaved.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Not just men. Because it's men, women, and then they mention naked children. Naked children!
Yeah, we got to get those. We got to get some clothes.
Yeah, no. You've got... And then they're like, oh, they wore their garb from the jungle, which was like leaves and shit. And this book that, again, went through the wash, says that they were rosy white and had dark, long hair. But No. If you look at the fucking illustrations from the original book, this is the most insane, like, lunatic shit that I, like, it is just blatant, like, we've stolen these tiny brown men from the jungle to enslave them. I'm like, this was written in 1964, not 1764.
And you brought them back to England.
Yeah, and we brought them back to England, like England does. And it's fine. And now I'm exploiting them by paying them in beans. I don't pay them in cash. I'm just paying them in chocolate beans. And they're going
to
live
here. And are
they
allowed to send that money back, the beans back home to their family? Because it's nice that they get a lot of beans, but...
And instead of giving you guys the factory to, you know, grow it and move on, I'm going to give it to one of these five random shitty little fuckbags that find a golden ticket in my chocolate bars I scatter through the country. Fuck you,
I'm interviewing a child for your new owner.
Yeah, I'm busy grooming children to be your owner.
Yeah, that's a little creepy. Okay, so
I hate this man.
they Violet turns into a blueberry from the gum that she has. It's like a full meal. It's like roast beef. It's tomato soup. Tomato, as they say, as Douglas would say, tomato soup. Which actually, like, I would love that because if I didn't have to plan a meal ever again in my life, I would be so happy. Just give me the gum. But apparently at the dessert phase, it makes you into a giant blueberry. So she, and then, oh yeah, and so then they, Mike TV, he gets zapped to be tiny in a television because they have this technology that if you, which is another thing that I would like to implement.
He didn't do it on accident, though. So, like, Mike,
No, Mike totally did this on purpose.
He was like, fuck yeah, I'm doing this. He sprinted. Usain bolted, like, straight into the place where he could be turned in and shrunk to be in a TV.
Mike was like, hey, have you ever zapped a human? And they were like, no. And he goes
fuck
okay,
yeah, let's do
I'll
this.
Do it. Yeah, he was like, let's go. He was like Johnny Knoxville. He's like, hi, I'm Mike TV and welcome to Jackass. I'm fucking going in front of this camera. That's what's happening. I don't even care if I, like, he had no regard for whether or not he was going to make it. Like, his parents were like, Willy Wonka goes like, oh, like one time, like half.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
like half
I hope
of something.
It's his top half.
And then the dad goes, he's like, he goes, so the mom goes, so wait, you're telling me that my son could come out, like only half of him can come out? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, but I mean, probably not. And then the dad's like, well, let's hope it's the top half. I'm like, why?
Also, the dad was also so done with this kid because he came out shrunk, and the shrunken version of him is like, I want to watch TV. I want to watch TV. And then the dad shoves him in his pocket and just starts suffocating him with his handkerchief.
Yeah, loved that. And this is another thing. This was like King Solomon. So that maybe this is like a biblical type story because the two parents, the two moms that are fighting over this baby, and then King Solomon says, you can split the baby in half. And then the person who was like, no, oh my God, was the actual mom. So the mom of Mike TV, Mrs. TV, was like, no, I don't want my kid to do that. And the dad's like, well, let's hope it's the top half.
Yeah, fuck it. Fuck him, whatever.
Yeah.
Also, there was also, like, just some weird shit in here. There's some lines from Wonka talking about how, I don't remember what this is for, like, vitamin H makes you grow horns. And then vitamin Wonka makes your toes as long as your fingers. What? I'm sorry. What is your vitamin Wonka? And what are you doing with that, sir? What kind of shit are you pulling off in this factory? I don't trust
anything.
And
if I'm Charlie, I'm raising my hand and I'm like,
can I get out of here? That's what I'd
be
like.
Yeah, why does my grandpa think you're a genius? What's going on?
Sir, I'm just going to lick the wallpaper and leave, okay? I'm just going
to go. Yeah. I don't even need to do this. I don't need to learn any lessons.
No.
At the end, they go into this glass elevator and they're like seeing all these different rooms.
Yeah, Charlie's the last one standing.
Yes. And Wonka, again, is very pleased. He's like, oh, it's only one of you. Like, he's so happy that there's not five children and their parents in the elevator with him. Like, he's so happy. It's just two people, you know, in the elevator with him.
Yeah. He's,
he loves it.
He is jazzed. And
yeah, he's 100%
ready
jazzed.
For destruction.
And Charlie is a sweet boy, and he's very concerned with, like, what happened to the other children, and he's like, oh, so, like, basically he tells you, like, how everybody's gonna be fine. They're not fine. Augustus Gloop comes out, and he's like, you know, like 10 feet tall
that was Mike TV. So Augustus Gloop was squeezed thin.
He was squeezed thin.
Violet,
that's right,
came out. I mean, she was squeezed out,
but she still has purple.
Mike TV was 10 feet tall and thin as a wire. And my favorite one was that
the salts.
I think Violet, was it Violet Beauregard? Her whole family came out covered in trash.
No, Veruca Salt. Veruca Salt. They were covered in trash, which was the best. They took it the hardest. So I was like, good. Fuck you guys.
Veruca Salt and her parents left covered in trash.
Yeah,
but
it was
awesome.
They
all got to go home with their truckloads of chocolate for their, you know, they won their, as part of the Wonka experience, you got chocolate for life.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. They got candy for life, basically, which is cool. Because I think Violet was wanting gum. She was like, I just want a whole lifetime supply of gum. Which, I mean, like, what happens if in like, you know, 8 years, your dentist is like, hey, you've got like terrible TMJ. You can't chew another thing of bubble gum. And she's going to just be like, you know, fuck you. Okay. So Charlie sees everybody and then they're in the elevator, which I was like, again, should we have 96-and-a-half-year-old Grandpa Joe in this fucking elevator and it's going to go through the ceiling? Like, I was like, no.
No.
It's going to go through the roof.
But honestly, at that point, like we said, Grandpa Joe is just, I would just be, I'd be living life. Oh, yeah. I'd be like, hey, you know what I'm gonna do today? I'm gonna see if I can jump on top of a great white shark. Like, that's where I would be like, I've always wanted to.
Live in La Vida, Grandpa Joe.
I'm gonna let every intrusive thought win at this age.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Bears. I'm gonna pet them. I'm gonna pet that bear. I'm gonna pet that dog. Every single dog I see, I'm petting.
Yep.
Wolves.
And then
coyotes.
Also, I'm just gonna smush mashed potatoes in people's face if they're just like, shut up.
I'm gonna let in every raccoon into my house. I'm gonna have a house full of raccoons.
Yep. Yes. I already pet everybody's dogs, but the fun thing is that I don't talk to the people at all. And they're like, thanks.
You?
And they're like,
gross.
They'll tell me that they're nice and stuff. And I like look at them like, I wasn't talking to you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Like, they're like, oh, he's like two. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I wasn't speaking to you. I was telepathically communicating with your dog who hates you. Okay.
Yeah. By the way, she told me he hates you. Anyway, so Charlie, because he was so quiet and nice and humble and beautiful and, you know, whatever, he got to get the chocolate factory.
Yeah, you know,
and
he gets to inherit all the slaves.
Yeah. And he doesn't have to worry about his life anymore. And, you know, where do they get to move?
Into the factory.
Yeah. So Wonka is like, Okay. What is he going to do with the buckets? Is he going to chocolatize them?
Fuck if I know. They all get to live in the factory.
Because he's like, I'm gonna work a couple of years, and then I'm going to prop it up to you when I die or whatever. And it's like, okay, but what are you going to do in those couple of years?
And now they're all enslaved.
Yes.
So, whatever.
It'll be like Beauty and the Beast. They're all cursed. To be there now, just because of.
But also, like,
Will William.
To the point of my review, the Wonkavator goes out, smashes into the Bucket's two-room home. Okay, that's all they have. That's their only possession. This man just comes in and destroys it, and they're like, "Hey, fuckbat! Like, you could have killed us. You just smashed in here, ready to slaughter us all. Did you look and see where any of us were? No, you just came in hot." With your stupid elevator that's on 1 million sugar power or whatever the fuck it's
flying whatever
on.
The fuck that means.
And you could have killed it. We could have all been incinerated. I don't know if you know about sugar, but it caramelizes and it gets pretty hot. Boiling caramel could kill somebody. So I don't want to go with you. And that was what Grandma Georgina was like. She's like, I'm not going with this guy. Are you guys out of your minds? And then they kidnapped her. Okay? He just picked up the bed and took it with him.
It was fucked.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I hated it.
We loved it. We loved it. It's obvious, right? Okay, it doesn't matter because I got Chrissy the most unhinged thing the other day, and I wanted to share it with you all. Okay, so I saw that the Oompa Loompa from the Wonka Experience was doing cameos, and... So I got one for Chrissy, and I told her to tell the funniest story that she had from the day. So maybe I will post it on social media so that you guys can, one, go follow us, and I'll post it over there.
We think that she got the wrong prompt, but we're going to go with
it. It was like one time when I got William Hung cameo. And I wanted him to sing Ace of Base, I Saw the Sign, and he just sang a completely different song. And I was like, you know what? I love this. I think he did, I don't even remember what it was, but it was so good. I was like, he clearly does not know I Saw the Sign, and he's not going to. He's going to play his strengths. I know this one, and this is what you're getting.
Let him thrive.
So I loved it. I was like, you know, this is a really good performance. I'm happy I paid for it. It's good. I wouldn't want to pay for an inferior product. If he doesn't know that song, he's not confident with it. It's a hard song. I got it. So anyway, that was Willy Wonka. No, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Oh. I will post the Oompa Loompa video on our Instagram at Book It Book Podcast. Write us a review. You know, whatever. Next time we will be talking about RuPaul's memoirs. So I'm excited about that. It's only 7 hours. So that is amazing. At least it's not.
The House of Hidden Meanings by RuPaul.
Yes, The House of Hidden Meanings. I'm so excited about this. I would not recommend that you read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory just because it was not even like interesting. It was more irritating than anything. Chrissy?
No. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't recommend reading it. I wouldn't recommend watching any of the movies. Pick something else by Gene Wilder, okay? Pick anything else.
Yeah.
Or just watch it on mute.
Watch Young Frankenstein.
Watch Young Frankenstein. Do that.
I love Young Frankenstein. That's a good movie. So, yeah, I don't think I would recommend reading it to your kids just because I think that they'll just be like what Chrissy said earlier. It was like it was a scary movie. Like, I would for sure go swimming in the chocolate river. I'd be like, this is great.
Yeah, you know.
I'm going to go swimming. Fuck you guys.
I'm a gloopy for life, but I will not be reading this again.
No. I'm glad that we read it so I can appreciate Augustus Gloop more. I do remember in the movie, his mom was rallying hard for him just as much during that. So I was like, yes, bitch, I love you.
That was the solid parenting. I like Mrs. Gloop is the shit.
We all deserve moms like Mrs. Gloop.
Oh, Sarah, I forgot to tell you.
What?
PTSD little flare-up this week. I got in the parking garage elevator again this week with the same man from The Office. Don't you?
Twilight?
From the Twilight saga. And I wouldn't make eye contact with him. And then it was yesterday. And he's like, you go, because I told you we had that work event. And he's like, are you going to the party later? And I was like, oh my God. And then before even saying anything to him, I'm literally silencing my phone and like closing all the apps. And I'm like, yeah, totally, totally going. Are you? I'm not going to be able to deal with it ever again. And I was like, how am I going to speak to this man? It was awful.
I love that so much. That was my favorite. I was crying from laughing so hard you had that on.
Yeah, if you need any more stories of how I've humiliated myself this week, stay tuned.
Especially since I've got it plenty. Was like at like it was like 9 a.m. that you're telling me that this happened. And
it
I was like,
was
oh
not,
no.
It wasn't. My whole existence is embarrassing. I am embarrassed of everything that I do. I nobody else can embarrass me. I embarrass myself
you can try.
On an hourly basis. Okay.
Yeah, you can try. But I mean, just the depths that I'm not even thinking about it because I convinced myself, like I saw that article about if you pick your nose, you'll give yourself Alzheimer's or dementia or something like that. So like, I don't have time to think about what you're being mean to me about. I'm so preoccupied with my own neuroses and hypochondria. I can't do it. So I have no room for you right now. I generally agree with you. Welcome to my echo chamber. If you'd like to know more awful things about me, I'm happy to discuss them with you, but I don't need to be degraded. I'm doing that fine myself.
I'm super busy degrading myself, so
I don't need help. I don't need your help. I'm doing fine on my own. But anyway,
RuPaul,
with that,
next week
we will be talking about the wonderful world of RuPaul, and I'm sure that we will be. Maybe it'll be a terrible world, and I'll be crying a lot. I don't know.
I'm gonna go home and watch Drag Race. That's what I know.
Yeah, I'm just along for the ride, so I'm excited about it. But with that, cheerfully yours.
Oh, cheerfully yours.
It's been our pleasure.